Well, I have a scripture today I want to share with you that I think is probably one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. I think if I were to ask you to write down what you think are the greatest miracles in the Word, I don't guess anybody in here would put this one down. We pass over it, and we don't think a whole lot about it. But I think outside of Jesus' virgin birth, his death, burial, and resurrection, this is probably one of the greatest miracles in the entire Bible. I think it's greater than some of the healings that Jesus did and even some of the people that was raised from the dead in the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Psalms, chapter or division 105 and verse 37. I don't know if I give them the right scripture or not, but anyway, this is what I want to start out with. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. I want you to listen to this now. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. At the least estimate, the most conservative estimate of those that came out of Egypt was around 2 million. It goes on up to 5 million. I personally believe it's somewhere in between. I think it's probably about 3 to 3.5 million people that came out of Egypt that day with Moses. There are 4.8 million people living in the state of Alabama. If those who believe there's 5 million of them, that's more people than live in this entire state. If it's mine, around 3 million, that's more than all of the major cities, Birmingham, Mobile, Montgomery, Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, Gadsden, more than all of them put together on the smaller amount of those that came out of Egypt. And for the Bible to say there was nobody that had to be carried on a stretcher, nobody had to have crutches, nobody went out limping, nobody was too old to get around, it is one of the greatest miracles I've ever heard of. Now, I know that we get old and our body does go through some processes. And I fully understand that. But wouldn't it be great if somebody could say, I went to the Alabaster Church and there's not one feeble person there spiritually. The greatest thing we could say is, we're not feeble in our faith. We're not feeble in our fellowship. We're not feeble in our assurance of God and what He can do. We're not feeble in our service to Him. Dear Lord, if we could just get hold of that, God prepared them. I don't know what all God had to do. I know that He had to arrange it, that there was no woman that was just about to deliver a baby. So He had to hold up conception for a while until He understood that the time of their deliverance would be there so that every woman could walk out without the pangs of birth. And yet nobody was sick. I don't even think Israel knew what God was doing. But because the king had added to their predicament. He made them gather more straw, make more bricks, and they worked from daylight to dark, and yet they were never healthier than on the day they walked out of Egypt and across the Red Sea into that wilderness journey and on their way to the promised land. And all there was a way God had to work things out to make it for that, like that. And so that's what I want to really talk about today. I want to preach to you on God's miracle medicine. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 22, Pastor quoted that this morning, and I said, move on, move on, under my breath. Don't stop there. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart is like a medicine, but when you let a broken spirit take hold of you, it will kill you. That's what he said. Dries the bones. That means you're dead. I got a birthday card this week that I don't remember all of them, but it said one of them was, if you were cheese, you would be mellow. And then I don't know. They went through several things. Then the last one says, and if you were a dog, you opened it up and said, you'd be dead. Right. But I do know one thing. The Word of God is true, and it gives us the route to be healthy spiritually and even physically. There is a book that has been written by Dr. John A. Schindler, and the title of that book is How to Live 365 Days a Year. Dr. Schindler says in his studies that he has found something that he's called EII. EII is emotionally induced illnesses. And so he has a whole cabinet full of patients that he says has EII. They're not really should be anything wrong with them, but there is physically things wrong with them, but it all came through what Zig Ziglar called stinking thinking. Zig Ziglar said in the book that I've got in my library at home called See You at the Top, he said we need to have a checkup from the neck up and get rid of our stinking thinking. Stinking thinking will kill you, but a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Dr. Schindler said 75% of the stiffness in the backs of the neck is caused by EII. He said 90% of lumps in the throat and difficulty swallowing is caused by emotionally induced illnesses. 50% of light pain in the stomach is caused by EII. 80% of dizziness, 80% of headaches, 90% of tiredness is caused by EII. And he said every other bed that is filled in the hospital is filled by someone who shouldn't be there, but their thinking made them sick. Now, folks, I want to tell you today, in talking to our senior adults, that there is a way out, and there is a way you can make yourself healthy, and you can quit thinking down in the gutter, and you can quit saying, I'm getting old, and I've got to be put on a shelf, and I've got to be laid aside somewhere. No, no, no. I think the worst thing that can ever be said about one of us is he's been put on the shelf. I don't know if any of you remember Dr. James Slay. Great, great preacher. When he died, he left, his widow was Ruby. Ruby, before she married again, she married Brother Howell, but she was, just everybody called her Sister Ruby. She told me one day with tears in her eyes, I was down at Loxley where she was a member. And she told my wife and I, she said, every time I want to do something, somebody will run over to me and say, oh, Sister Ruby, you don't need to be doing this. We'll do it for you. Just go sit down. You've been out there so long in this. Just go on. And she's with tears in her eyes, she said, Brother Lefevre, I don't want to sit down. I don't want somebody else to do it for me. I want to do things for myself. I want to be active. I want to do the things I ought to do. One day, Sister Ruby, somebody told her, said, Sister Ruby, your hair has got so dull looking. Your hair needs some kind of a treatment. And she said, well, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, I'll tell you, one of the things that they're recommending now is to wash it in some beer. Now, this lady is from the old school, came up from way back, and she said, oh, man. So she didn't do it. Weeks rocked on. She looked in the mirror, and she said, boy, that hair does look bad. She said, that might be worth a try. She gets in her car and starts driving. She drives about 30 miles out in the country, got on a little country road, went way back, passed by a service station type grocery store, had beer signs up there. No cars were parked there. She said, this is good. Sister Ruby goes in, and she looks all around, and there's nobody there but one young man behind the counter. She goes back to the back, finds a stack of canned beer. Never bought one in her life. Never touched one in her life. Picked up that can of beer and still looked all around. Walked over to the counter and set it down. The boy said, Sister Slay, they're cheaper by the six pack. That's true. That's true. That is true. You can't get around those things. She's in her 90s now. I saw her in Cleveland just recently, and she's still going. But she has a merry heart, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And the more you let God give you that merry heart, the better you're going to be. Your health's going to be better. Your outlook's going to be better. And nobody will talk about putting you on a shelf somewhere. They'll use you. That shelf business will be out. My wife's got stuff on the shelf. Man, she's got little old teacups and little saucers that we bought different countries in the world. And she's got them sitting on the shelf. You know what they're good for? Nothing. Could you use them? Yeah, you could. They would work. Has she ever used them? No. Am I allowed to touch them? No. She takes them down and washes them, cleans them, shines them up, puts them back on the shelf. And they just sat there. Don't let anybody put you on the shelf. I don't know how old, sister, I don't know how old she, but she blessed my heart singing a few minutes ago. You don't lose that. What you've got on the inside, it ought to come out on the outside and not just put out somewhere to pasture, as they call it, but to stay active with God and keep what God has given you. And that's on the inside, let it show up on the outside in your face. Hallelujah. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that when Solomon said that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones, he went on and said, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And then in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, Solomon said, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Dear Lord, that does something to me. That tells me that the more you can laugh and the happier you can be, the better you're going to be. You know, I was sitting there during Sunday school, and I thought, man, I was enjoying your pastor. I just enjoyed listening to him, and I thought, this is what it's all about. It's all about, somebody criticizes sometimes. Somebody criticized Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers of bygone day. They said, a lady came up to him and said, now, Brother Spurgeon, I think you're using too much humor in the pulpit. He looked at her and said, sister, don't criticize me for that. If you knew how much I held back, you would praise me. You know why Charles Spurgeon does that? Because he knows that if he can make you laugh, it has something inside of you. It releases some things that goes to your brain. It releases something that can give you health. It releases things inside of you that can give you energy. And they say even if you fake a laugh, it still has an effect on you to make you better. So we don't need to sit around pouting and grumpy wow. I was reading an article about a woman by the name of Elizabeth Barrett. Elizabeth Barrett was a poet years ago, way back. She had been bedridden for a couple of years and could not even lift her head off the pillow. She was visited one day by another poet, handsome, daring young man by the name of Robert Browning. You still read the poems of Robert Browning. He came by and visited with her, and they talked for a while, and for the first time in 2 years, she lifted her head off the pillow. He came back for a second visit sometimes later, and she sat up in the bed. He came back for the third visit, and they eloped. True. and you still read her poems, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, you tell me that it doesn't make you better. When I was evangelism director this last time, my secretary buzzed me and said, you have a phone call from Willie Cook. You want to take it? I said, sure. I know Brother Cook, good friend of mine. I don't know if you know Willie Cook. He was a great guy. He had called everybody Doc. I don't know if he walked up to you, you're going to be Doc. Everybody was Doc. When I answered the phone, I said, hey, Brother Cook. He said, hey, Doc, I want you to do my funeral. I said, do your funeral? You know, when you ask a preacher to do your funeral, what do you want him to say? I'll be glad to. I mean, what do you say? So I took the old way out. Well, Brother Cook, you probably outlive me. Oh, no, no, he said, Doc, I'm dying. He said, they've already told me I don't have long to live. He said, I've got hospice coming to my house. And said, they say it's not going to be long. I said, well, Brother Cook, I do what I can. I tried to be diplomatic and work around that. And we do get put on spots with that, Pastor. But finally, we got, because I had buried his wife. I did the funeral, and he just wanted to be sure that I would be available for him. Didn't hear from him for a while. I kept waiting for the bad news. Didn't hear from him. So we went to the Smoky Mountain Jubilee up in Gatlinburg. And my wife and I went in, and we sat down on this side, and the service had not started, and I got a glimpse of somebody getting up and going to the restroom. Let me show you. I saw him get up and say, I said, honey, that looked like Willie Cook. I said, that can't be Willie Cook. So when he come back, come in just and sat down beside a lady that I knew from my home church. I said, I'm going over there to speak to him. That's Willie Cook. So I got up and went over there, and I said, I saw him sitting together. I said, Willie, are y'all courting? He said, courting nothing. We're married. I went back and told my wife. She said, I've told you, good woman can make anybody get feel better. Here's a man who was dying. She came in to his life. They got married. He was walking faster than I could walk. Everything. I mean, he was in high gear. What happened? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Praise God. When you get to that place that you can say, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart to stay. Dear, somebody give God praise. Reader's Digest says that to be happy, man needs three things. Now, there was no religious thing in this, none. They were giving it strictly from a medical standpoint or from a standpoint of what had been studied out that would make you happy. Man needs three things to make him happy. Someone to love, something meaningful to do, and something to hope for. I looked at that and I said, wow, All three of them's in Jesus. Someone to love. We love him, the Bible said, because he first loved us. Something meaningful to do. The Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness. Something to hope for, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All three of them's in him. Every Christian ought to have a merry heart. They ought not to be any sad looking down Christians. Every child of God, born again, name on the Lamb's Book of Life, ought to walk like Willie Cook. You ought to have a spring in your step. You ought to have a joy in your voice when you speak. You ought to have something on your face that tells people. Back during the gold rush, California gold rush, there was four guys got together, and they found a mine or a place that they were going to prospect, and back then you didn't file on it at that time, and if you didn't, anybody else could come and file on it. But they got so busy, they found the mother lode. They were digging gold out by the sack full. They said, well, we got to go into town and file our claim on this before somebody else comes in, jumps the claim, and gets all of our gold. They said, all right, before we go, nobody tells anybody about our striking it rich. Nobody. You don't tell anybody. Do you agree? One said, yes. Do you agree? Yes. Do you agree? Yes. And they all took a little oath. We won't tell anybody while we're in town, because they had to pick up some supply too. They went in, filed the claim, bought their supplies. When they started to leave, they looked back, and the whole town was coming after them. Somebody said, who told? Did you tell? I didn't tell anybody. Did you tell? No, nobody. They turned around, and the first man that was closest to him said, how did you know? He said, we saw it in your faces. Isn't that the way it ought to be with us? Now, this may not mean a lot to some of you city slickers, but I pastored a lady. Her testimony almost every time was she'd get up and she had a smile on her face and it was just so good. She'd rub her hand. She'd say, oh, I want to tell you, this old time religion is like putting blackberries in a flour sack. Nobody has to ask you what you've got in the sack. It comes through to the outside. Oh, it ought to come through to the outside. That's what us older people ought to be, an example to everybody, that we don't come in looking sour. Amen. Glory. I pastored a lady. I'm bad to go in and shake hands and say, how you doing? You know, I just do that. I come in and say, hey, man, how you doing? Go to the lady and say, how you doing? I'd do that till I got to her and I'd say, hi. You don't ask her how she's doing. 15 minutes later, she's still telling me how bad it is. I pastored there 9 years. She was dying when I got there. She was dying when I left. And I don't know how many years she lived, still dying. I think she may be gone. You see, some people you just don't ask that. But I like to go to those that's got a smile on their face. I like to go to those, even though they may be walking on a stick. are pushed in a wheelchair. I've seen some of those that are the happiest people on earth. Why? Not because my legs won't operate, but because I've got something inside. I've got something better than the world has got to offer. I've got the joy of the Lord down inside of me. I've got something inside of me that makes me want to shout and praise Him and glorify Him. That's the reason God has a miracle medicine for you. If you've got EII, I got some GMM for you. It'll take care of your EII to take God's miracle medicine. It'll cover up that EII. It'll cover it over. Dear God, I'm having a good time. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Pastor, I love you. I enjoy your humor, and it's great. Don't ever quit it. When you get to be 90 years old, you totter up to that pulpit and you keep this going. Because the more he laughs, the better he's going to be. And the more you laugh, the better you're going to be. And when Solomon was putting all this together and writing all this stuff and talking about the affliction of the people because they have a broken spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody with a broken spirit, but I have. I've looked into the emptiness of their eyes when they had a broken spirit. I've looked into their face when they had a broken spirit. And even though they were not physically dead, it looked like something had been lost out of them and they were as good as dead. Well, I know a man in the Bible that they said was as good as dead. Said Abraham was as good as dead. He was almost 100 years old. Good as dead. And God showed up in his life. And he had a bouncing baby boy at 100 years old. And his wife, 90. They had a bouncing baby boy. Something just gets in the arrangements when you've got the joy of God within you. Bumper sticker on the back of a car. I love bumper stickers. I really do. I love them. I don't know. There's a new one going around that I really do like. I don't know. If I say this, I'm saved. This is not the pastor saying it. This is me. I'll be gone. I'll be back in Huntsville. So you can deal with me on it. But it is a bumper sticker, and I got a copy of it on my email, and it was on a car in Kentucky. But it had a Kentucky tag, and it was called the first bumper sticker for Hillary for president. And it said, "Monica Lewinsky's ex-boyfriend's wife for president." That's true. I like bumper stickers. I sometimes get too close trying to read bumper stickers. But on the back of one car it said, "Smile. God loves you." I thought, wow, that's great. Now, as Christian driving this car, pull up beside her, she looked like she was having a gallbladder attack. You know what she needed to do? She needed to take that bumper sticker off the back and put it on the dash where she could see it, because everybody else was seeing her. Oh, I'm getting too far out on this stuff. You know the reason you're so tired? Yeah, I'm old. No. You're tired because it takes 72 muscles to frown and 14 to smile. Look how much wasted energy. Look how much energy people are wasting. Frowning. Take 72 muscles. I get tired of this frowning stuff. Smile then. 14 muscles to smile. A merry heart doeth good, like a good dose of medicine. Amen. And it won't taste like what I used to have to taste. My mother gave me Hadacol. Anybody remember Hadacol? I took that stuff every morning, a spoonful. I dreaded getting out of bed because I knew I was going to have to take a dose of Hadacol. It's locked into my brain. It'll never go away until I die. I still remember how Hadacol tastes. This medicine I'm talking about doesn't taste like Hadacol or castor oil. It's better than that. It's better. It gives you something inside that'll cause you to be not tired anymore, but revived. It will do something for you. It'll revive your spirit. It'll clear your eyes. People will look into your face and say, as they did with them, we know something's happened. We know you've struck it rich because there's something shining out about you and showing about you. Why? Because we're not through yet. I'll be 64-year-old Thursday. 74-year-old, excuse me, boy. 64 sounds better, don't it? Be 74 years old. I'm not through yet. don't let anybody sell you out now. Just keep laughing, keep smiling, keep a merry heart, and even when you get sick, just keep that merry heart and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Stand with me if you will. Stand with me. We need a revival. We need a revival. You've got one coming, but we need a revival of joy. I believe the church needs to get back to the well of joy and drink out of that well of salvation. And that well of salvation is a well of joy. And I believe we need to get back to where we can jump, leap for joy. It doesn't come easy, but sometimes you have to leap for joy. And when you leap for it and get it, you have had a dose of God's medicine. He has opened up the apothecary in heaven and has given you a good dose of medicine that will make you better. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the joy that we have. Thank you for just knowing you. Give us a revival, Lord. Give us a revival that will cause people to get back to the place of saying that I've heard people say, I've lost my joy. I've just lost something. And it doesn't come automatic. We don't get it automatic, God. I know we got to do our part. But help us to do what we have to do to receive that joy back into our life again. In Jesus' name, amen.